Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
905 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Nick Szczepkowski here, Mark Grody there, there being Denver, with you another hour tonight here on The Score and 670thescore.com. It's that time of year again, fantasy football drafts. I'll be doing an event with Julie DeCaro, with Joe Ostrowski, Connor McKnight at Soldier Field on Sunday. I'm considered an expert to tell everyone how to draft their fantasy team on Saturday. So for the actual expert, I have to do an interview now with Ben Heisler, from the director of media for FSM Contests, FSM being Fantasy Sports Markets. Ben, appreciate you taking the time tonight. What kind of expertise and knowledge bombs are you going to drop on me and Grody here coming up?
Well, Shep and Grody, it's good to talk to you both. I will just say this, if you're the expert at 670 and then you're talking to the expert, just know that we're going to help Danny Parkins be a non-expert. Like, we're going to try and raise him from the level of just nothingness to somethingness. So that's sort of my goal for tonight, is to make sure that he doesn't suck this year.
Okay, well, I saw your tweet about this already being his radio station. I mean, a man, I can tell you worked with him for a long time, because you feel the need to boost his ego by dishing out the compliments there, and I can only imagine how much even bigger his head grew when he read that.
Yeah, it's already massive. I think it was more meant for the Kansas City audience, knowing that he's in Chicago now. So no, it is 670 The Score. This is Chicago sports station, certainly not just Danny's station, but I think it was sort of pandering to your audience a little bit.
There you go there. So say I am lucky enough, or in some cases, I guess, unlucky enough, and I get the first overall pick in the draft. Is there a single answer, a right answer of who I should be taking?
In most years, Shep, I would have told you that you should go Antonio Brown for five consecutive seasons of 100-plus catches. His target rate is off the chain, and usually with that number one overall pick, you want consistency, you want volume, you want week-in, week-out production. And Antonio Brown has provided that, but I think this year, knowing that it's more top-heavy at running back than it is at wide receiver, I still think either Todd Gurley or Le'Veon Bell is the way to go. They were both leaders in both regular season scoring and PPR scoring, standard scoring, I should say. And both of them are going to have the offenses that go directly through them, especially at the goal line. Gurley was outstanding. He was getting the volume of the touchdowns for the Rams last year. I just look at both of them in either situation, whether it's standard or full PPR reception leagues, as they're the bell cow backs, and they're going to command a ton of volume, especially Bell being a free agent. You know he's going to command as much as he possibly can. And I think this year, even though normally I would say take Antonio Brown, the injury concerns scare me just a little bit, especially with how top-heavy running back is, I'd say Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, you probably can't miss with either of those two guys.
Ben, it's really good to talk to you. Mark Grody here in Denver.
And, hey, Mark.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Long time, no
talk.
Long
time. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. I'm not going to lie to either of you two. I'm going to be kind of a bystander during this conversation, because I am no fantasy football expert. I have not ever played fantasy, and I know that makes me one of about seven people in the United States of America. So I'm going to ask the really easy question here, and then for the most part, I'm going to back out and let Shep and the callers and the texters take over.
Grody's going to be searching for his Uber to take him back home across the street, is what he's going to be doing for the next 15 minutes, what he's trying to say.
Yeah, and it's got to be UberX, man. It's got to be. If I don't come in,
you fired Stasinski. You took away his paycheck because he had to take the black car in Denver earlier today.
That's right. It was a beautiful Lexus and a very gentlemanly man who wanted to stay here and wait for me to come out and take me back home. But anyway, Ben, the question is, and this is my easy question for the night, what Bears players will pique the interest of fantasy football players and or experts this year?
But before I answer that, Mark, don't you imagine that Harry Caray in this time and age and generation would be the perfect spokesman for Uber?
I think he probably would be. Yeah. Oh, you mean in terms of like going for, because of his want to do a little bit of drinking?
I think so. I think he'd be the perfect spokesman. And also Mark Rohde, one of the best hands-down Harry Carey impressions that I've heard over the course of my entire life. As far as
Joaquin
Bears
Ando go, has spelled backwards as Hector Villanueva.
There you go.
Why is there a Y in Lyft? I will say this about as far as the Chicago Bears go. I think a lot of people are undervaluing Jordan Howard. And Mark, I know that you're a practice, so maybe you can answer this a little bit better. But as far as touches inside the red zone, Jordan Howard's going to get those touchdowns. And those add up. I think a lot of people looked at Howard and said, yeah, there's so many inconsistent games, and the Bears were going to Tariq Cohen in the passing game, and Jordan Howard was dropping balls left and right. And I think to a certain extent that tends to be overvalued a little bit. I think they're going to make Jordan Howard a part of the passing game. I think you saw Matt Nagy's system in Kansas City and getting a chance to watch it firsthand last year being in the Kansas City area. I look at Jordan Howard still as a top 12 running back because I think he can only improve in the passing game. And the touchdowns are going to be critical as well. Somebody like Tariq Cohen, I see him probably being one of those late round 12th, 13th round flyers. If you're in a PPR league, he maybe goes a little bit earlier because they're going to use him in so many different ways. As far as Mitch Trubisky, he's probably that quarterback too, somewhere in the lines of maybe Pat Mahomes, Marcus Mariota, Jared Goff. I think if you want to reach on Trubisky, you can do it confidently knowing that the Bears have hired the right coaching staff to maximize him and to actually use him and to get some rushing yards, because a lot of those yards will add up, especially from quarterbacks, when in traditional leagues, touchdowns are only worth 4 points through the air. If you get a couple running touchdowns with Trubisky through some RPOs and some run-pass options, I think that's going to benefit him as well. As far as wide receivers, Allen Robinson is the big name. I know that Anthony Miller is being considered maybe at the back end of drafts. I'm a little bit more cautious on Robinson only because I want to see him fully healthy, so I haven't really invested in him yet. And Trey Burton's really interesting to me. I've seen him as either the number four or the number five tight end pick, and I've seen him go undrafted as well because there's the emergence of Adam Shaheen, and you're just not sure how they're going to use him. Right now, I probably have him sort of at the back end of the tight end one category. I think they'll use him effectively. They paid a lot of money for him. And as far as a lot of the practice reports have sounded, they're moving him around, both on the inside and the outside. They like him in all these different pass formations. So I think there are a handful of Bears that could be intriguing fantasy candidates, but the really only guy that I like sort of near that top of the draft in that third or fourth round is probably only Jordan Howard.
Speaking with Ben Heisler, Director of Media for Fantasy Sports Markets. Follow him on Twitter. Very easy, at Ben Heisler. You mentioned the top-heavy running back position when we're getting ready for our fantasy drafts. Where are the other tiers? Where are the key tiers and breakoff points that we should really be keeping an eye out for on draft day at the other positions?
Well, at running back, I think after you look at Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson and probably even Ezekiel Elliott, that's your golden tier. That's the top of the line. You could maybe consider somebody like Alvin Kamara with New Orleans in that conversation as well. Saquon Barkley, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, and Dalvin Cook is probably tier two. And then I think it takes a pretty drastic step backwards. And I think that's when you can start looking for some really good value at wide receiver. In doing a lot of the different traditional mock drafts, you're seeing running backs, especially in the first two rounds, go very, very early. And that's when a lot of the runs on wide receivers go. Somebody like Larry Fitzgerald, who I believe led the NFL, if not for Antonio Brown, in catches last year, is still going around the third and the fourth round. That's because Larry Fitzgerald's a fossil. He's like 36 years old, but he's still getting the target volume. Sam Bradford, assuming he stays healthy, is a very accurate quarterback. I don't think that target number is going to change. But I think early on, as far as sort of breaking it down in the early rounds, you're going to start to see a lot of the running backs go very early. Second round, it'll be a little bit more of a mix of some of those back-tier running backs that you'll probably go in the mid-second round. Some of those final wide receivers like an A.J. Green or a Keenan Allen or a Mike Evans might drop to the second round. And then tight end is usually when you'll get the Rob Gronkowski, maybe in the mid to late second round. Travis Kelce will go somewhere in the early third round, according to their average draft position. But after those two guys, it's kind of a wasteland. Zach Ertz, I worry about his ability to stay on the field consistently. Evan Ingram's going to have to deal with Odell Beckham Jr. being back for the Giants. And then as far as quarterbacks go, you're seeing Aaron Rodgers go somewhere in the second to early third round. Cam Newton slightly behind him. Same with Russell Wilson. But I'm an advocate because there's so much depth at the quarterback position, because there's so much separation after those first three or four guys that you can get some really good quarterbacks late in your fantasy drafts.
What's the biggest or most fatal mistake that you see done during drafts most often that costs a team on draft day and gives you no chance of winning the title?
I think it's panicking and choosing a position purely because you need to choose a position and ignoring the value that's on the board. Sometimes it's just because there's a run on running backs or on quarterbacks midway through, say, the fourth or the fifth round, and your turn is next. And you're like, oh, my God, all these running backs are gone. I have to grab the next available running back. When if you just look at your board, maybe the number three tight end is still on the board. If you haven't gotten an elite-level quarterback yet, somebody is still there. You always, and I hate sort of the cliche element of what NFL general managers say of, you know, you let the board come to you and we'll take the best available player. But, you know, really in the early to mid-level rounds of your fantasy draft, you kind of have to do that because that's where the value is going to come in. You're going to be able to take some chances with some high upside guys in the middle to later rounds. Those are going to be available. But it's just purely playing to the fact that if you follow a trend, do the opposite, because more likely than not, you're going to get the better value there.
Who then, if we're looking later rounds in a draft, everyone's always wants to know, sleepers.
Right.
Who's not getting enough love this time of year? Who's not getting enough love that might be a difference maker that gets you in contention to win a title or at least puts you in playoff position in fantasy this year?
I'll start with a quarterback. For whatever reason or another, Philip Rivers continues to be underdrafted, and he has so many weapons surrounding him. He uses Melvin Gordon in the passing game. He's constantly in the top 10 in yards and in touchdowns. And for whatever reason, just because it's Philip Rivers or people think the Chargers are cursed, people tend to stay away from him. He's somebody that you can theoretically get anywhere between the 8th to as late as the 12th or the 13th round, and I think he's a legitimate quarterback one. As far as running backs go, Duke Johnson of the Cleveland Browns in PPR leagues was the number 12 overall scoring running back last year, and that surprises a lot of people. And I've seen him as low as 40 to 45 on some people's cheat sheets. And I think, well, they have a competent offensive coordinator now in Todd Haley, and he just came from coaching Le'Veon Bell for so many years. So you're telling me that their best catching running back isn't going to be actively involved? I know they brought in Carlos Hyde and they drafted Nick Chubb, but they're going to sort of balance each other out as far as carries and goal line opportunities. Duke Johnson got targeted a ton, and I still think, especially with an accurate short-arm quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, they're going to use Duke Johnson a bunch. So I think he's being somebody that's undervalued so far in drafts. And then at the wide receiver spot, somebody like Tyler Lockett in Seattle. It's a contract year for him. They just lost Paul Richardson to Washington. Doug Baldwin is hurt to start the season. There's a possibility he'll be back for week one. Rashad Penny, their first-round running back, is potentially going to miss some time. So right now it's Chris Carson. Russell Wilson is a bad offensive line, so he's running for his life, and he's trying to throw the ball as often as he can. So somebody like Tyler Lockett, I think his target volume is going to go way up. He's getting drafted anywhere between the 12th all the way to the 14th round. And I think you can move him up a couple spots, knowing that especially with some of those targets going away, especially with Jimmy Graham going to Green Bay, I think that's somebody that's in line for a fair share of targets.
All right, finally for you, Ben, then. There's got to be somebody projected first or second round in most drafts that you are not keen on. Who is the guy that you shouldn't fall for, don't fall for in round one or two?
I'm staying away from Keenan Allen, and he was fantastic last year. And it's not to say that he's a bad player, but I think you're seeing him go even before Julio Jones. People are very down on Julio Jones this year, Shep. I don't understand why. Last year was more of a statistical anomaly in the fact that he only had three touchdowns. He was still targeted a ton in the red zone, and I think that number is going to climb back up. But people see Keenan Allen, and they think freakish athletic ability and good hands, and this is somebody that's going to go all the way back and possibly be a better player this year than Odell Beckham Jr. and Julio Jones, and I think that's crazy. The fact that Keenan Allen is going late first round, even early second round, is a bit ridiculous to me. I don't know if I completely understand that move. And I think somebody, too, like Leonard Fournette. I've never been impressed with Leonard Fournette. A lot of his big opportunities to handle the ball and to handle the carries were about 2 yards, 3 yards. He doesn't get involved in the passing game as well. T.J. Yeldon tends to be that guy. He'll get some touchdowns, and a lot of his yards came from a couple big touchdown runs, a couple in meaningless games. He's also going late first round, early second round, as a top six, top seven running back. So Leonard Fournette, Keenan Allen, they're both fine. I just don't think where they're being drafted is where you should take them in your draft.
Ben, definitely appreciate taking time this evening. Since you're on the phone, Herb has whispered in my ear and told me, since Grody's on here as well, Grody's a king of impressions, that we can't let you go. We hear that you have something special in the form of Bruce Weber.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different guys. Alex Collins is somebody who fights hard. He tries to get every bounce at the right opportunity. Somebody like Larry Fitzgerald. I love his energy. Love his passion. He's going to play until he's 100. I love Larry.
Grody, how do you grade that one out?
I grade that. Here's my – that retweetable. That is very good. My grade is retweetable. That was good, man. And you know what? That I've heard a lot of Bruce Weber impersonations. That's top-notch right there.
Well, I appreciate it. The thing with Bruce, and obviously you guys got to know him a little bit, is isn't he just enough whiny in the voice, but not too much? Because then otherwise you start to lose your fan interest in Bruce. You want to you feel a little compassion for him, but you don't want too much because otherwise it's going to go overboard. But you just need that little level of whininess in his voice.
Right. There's the whininess and the little bit of beaten down. Like he's at the, like his, every time he talks, it's at the end of the day. He hasn't had enough sleep from the night before. And, you know, things, you know, the kids are running amok at home. And yeah, he is. When he speaks, when he's done speaking, you just want to give him a hug.
Right, exactly. Antonio Gates, is this guy going to play forever? I don't know. It's been a long one.
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly.
I don't know. Who cares?
Ben, Bruce, whatever your name is, appreciate you taking the time. We're going to do this before too long.
Always good to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Ben Heisler from FSM Contest is where you can follow him on Twitter at Ben Heisler on Twitter as well. Fantasy Sports Markets. He has the markets cornered on all of that. 312-644-6767. Nick Szczepkowski, Mark Grody with you up until 10 o'clock tonight. Bunch of football still to get to. Some Cubs to cycle back on other stuff as well. With you until 10 o'clock when Julie DeCaro takes over on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
I don't know what else to say, guys.
Nick Szczepkowski, Mark Grody with you, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. I'm here in Chicago. Grotes is out in Denver covering the Bears as they continue to practice with the Broncos. Do that again tomorrow, off day on Friday. Then the real thing, well, sort of the real as a preseason game could be anyway, Bears and Broncos, Saturday night out in Denver. Mark Grody covering it all for us here on 670 The Score. Grody, I've mentioned many Bears names. They've come up. Anthony Miller, I'm already calling him the next Steve Smith, the next great Bear. Put it down. Put that one in my column. Can't wait to see him during regular season action. Is there anyone that's not being sold to us enough, like, or we're not aware enough or not making enough out of that could come up, surprise people, and be a difference maker on this team this year?
I don't know if he has been under, he's probably been reported about as much as he should be, but I do think that there is a sleeper in what is starting to look like a pretty talented tight end core. And no, I'm not going Adam Shaheen on you because Adam Shaheen is supposed to be good. He's a second round pick, so he better be good. I won't go Trey Burton on you because we know that he has to be good considering the money that they are paying him. I think Deion Sims is on the rise, and I'm going to Daniel Brown as a guy to keep an eye on this year. And I'm basing some of it on what I saw in the preseason game against Cincinnati, in which Daniel Brown had 5 catches for 90 yards in that game, including a 56-yarder. And not just because of the flashy numbers, but because Daniel Brown is lining up like a U tight end the way Trey Burton is. And what that is a guy who basically, just to make it very simple, can line up just about anywhere. And he seems to have that skill set very quietly, kind of in the background. And after that game again in Cincinnati, the first guy to run up to him was Trey Burton with a big smile on his face, almost like as if to say, you executed like what we thought you were capable of doing. So I'm not making any guarantees on Daniel Brown, but keep an eye on him and don't be surprised if he does some really good things throughout the season.
Yeah, it's not a guy that I think we know a whole heck of a lot about. Obviously, was if you watched the game on Thursday, it's a name that you heard called often because he had 5 receptions or 6 receptions
yeah.
in that game, and he looked good doing it. But it is, after all, for most teams, it was their first preseason game of the year, Cincinnati included. So it's one of those, I don't know a ton about him. I know that you pull up his stats, and throughout all of last year, caught 13 passes all season long. How likely is it? What kind of depth are we looking at here at tight end? What ultimately makes the roster, what the Bears keep around and dress of their 53-man roster on Sundays? Is it going to be a 3-tight-end format regularly? Is that safe to assume? How many tight ends make the roster?
It may not be overstating it to say that tight end is the most important part of the offense that Matt Nagy is trying to run out here. And Trey Burton's going to be a huge part of it. I mean, I predicted that, you know, we did a show in Bourbonnais with David Haw and Brad Biggs, and I'm predicting that Trey Burton will have the most receptions for the Bears. He won't necessarily have the most yards. I think that probably will go to Allen Robinson.
Probably a problem in terms of that contract.
Yeah, probably, unless it's your guy Anthony Miller.
That's right. It's a good problem.
Right, the proverbial good problem. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Allen Robinson has to have at least near 1,000 yards. And, you know, if all goes well in this Matt Nagy offense, the ball is going to be spread around quite a bit, and you're not going to know where it's going. And once they start to really add the RPOs, the run-pass options, you know, that's where things become really confusing, hopefully, for the Bears' sake, for opposing teams' defenses. But, yeah, I mean, Adam Shaheen has taken a huge step forward, it would appear, in camp in Bourbonnais, not just at being a red zone threat, but being a threat all over the field. He accomplished that last year to some degree, having caught 3 touchdown passes in his rookie year. But it seemed like on the rest of the field, he wasn't always as poised. And he even admitted, he said, you know, for our pregame show for the Bears broadcast on WBBM, that, yeah, he was a little stressed last year in his rookie year, that it didn't come to him that quickly, maybe a little bit overwhelmed coming from Ashland College and then going right to the NFL and expected to be a performer. This year, he looks different. He's got a different confidence about him. He admits that, and he's looked very good. So, and same with Deion Sims as well. I mean, he's determined to lose that tag of just being a blocking tight end, that he wants to be able to catch the football and make a real impact in terms of the yardage that this Bears offense might get.
That's Mark Grody. I'm Nick Szczepkowski, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Segment being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz in the Wildcats, so it's Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall, all at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets on sale now. NUSports.com is where you go to get them. So, do you made a decision yet in terms of what you think should happen on Saturday? Roquan Smith suits up for his first official practice in a Bears uniform today. Is it ridiculous to put him out there on Saturday? Is there anything to be gained for him to play in that game Saturday, or is it play the cards close to the vest and hold him out until the following week?
I'm going to say it would be wiser to hold him out at this point. And I only say that, honestly, Shep, in the name of injury, just because it would appear, and according to talking to some of his teammates today, including Danny Trevathan, he appears to be in really good shape and in football shape, as they say. But you don't know that for sure. And I think throwing him out there this week might be a little bit premature. And, you know, Matt Nagy has been very big throughout camp on making it clear, even if they don't really have to earn it, that they do have to earn it. And we know that Roquan Smith is going to be a big part of this defense this year, or else there's the word bust will start to come back in for the Bears. But I just don't think that we're going to see him this week based on everything that I've heard. And yeah, I don't think it would necessarily be a wise idea. Would you like to see him out there? I mean, do you think that
it's where I'm torn a little bit, because at the start of the preseason, I've done a couple shows with Anthony Herron since this has all gotten going. Look at the Hall of Fame game, and I know it's the common thing, even Brian Urlacher, when he addressed the team in Canton, made a joke out of it, you guys got 5 games this year, sorry about going into the Hall and having have to come out here. I look at it in the offense, and I truly believe this, in that I'm not thrilled of how things are going to look week 1 against Green Bay. I'm not really that excited for the first month of the season to see this, But I'm convinced that it's going to look like an NFL offense should look as this year goes on. Once we get into that November, December, and when you give this time all to kind of gel together, because it's not only a new offense, it's not only a second-year quarterback in his second offensive system in as many years, but it's also Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, guys in different uniforms and everything else of playing together for the first time that you have to count on. And I've been so much on board with the, all right, figure out a way to get them some reps. I'm not saying go out there and play an entire first quarter or full first half, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of some of your starters just because it's such a unique situation there. But when I say that, I guess Roquan Smith, I should apply that same theory to of, all right, well, yeah, if he's going to be part of the future, go get some reps when you can. But I find myself kind of contradicting what I say about the offense and Roquan Smith and being, all right, really? Going to throw him out there to play in a game after he's been on the practice field for all of 4 hours or so over the last month? It's not something I can really... I tend to be more on the side with you, and I feel kind of wrong about it because it contradicts what I say about the offense and growing and everything, but I do kind of err on the side of caution with him.
Yeah, I just don't know what good it would do this week because even if he is playing, it's not going to be for an extended period of time. There's no way he's going to start. I mean, that I can pretty much guarantee you. And that's really just an honor system from Matt Nagy. And yeah, Nick Kwiatkowski has looked very good this year in camp so far. And obviously Danny Trevathan will be the other starter at inside linebacker. Maybe Roquan Smith gets in for a series or two in the third or fourth quarters, but you're gonna have to wade through a lot of the game, I think, before Roquan Smith comes out there. It's funny you mentioned the Bears schedule. I hate the Bears schedule to start the season. I mean, it's cool because they open up in Green Bay on a Sunday night. So from a fan's perspective or even a media person's perspective, it's pretty cool that they open up on a Sunday night in Green Bay. But that's a tough task for a team that is, if nothing else, early on is going to be looking for a little bit of confidence. But to be going up against Green Bay after the year that they had last year, that's a tough task. And then their second game is Monday Night Football. And I get it, it's against a Seattle team, which looks a whole lot different now. But just to go prime time for your first two games of the season with Mitchell Trubisky and this offense trying to figure things out, it's kind of a tough task. And then they go
Arizona, then home against Tampa.
Arizona. Right. And then the fast bye week. Like, I don't like that either.
Yeah, I've never liked the early bye week. I've always been I'm second half of the season, please. If you can get after week 9, that would be ideal because that's when you start to get the most beat up. It feels like it's almost wasted that early on in the year.
You feel like you want to earn the day off too, or the week
right.
off, or you know what I mean? Like you want to have, it's like when anybody, before you go on a vacation, you want to have accomplished a lot, gotten everything done, and then you could feel good about yourself. Yeah, I agree. In terms of being nicked up and the general wear and tear that occurs with any NFL team, you want it for that. But then just to feel good about yourself, it's way too fast. So after the first four games, and then you
go through your AFC East portion of the schedule at Miami, home against New England, home against the Jets, and then in Buffalo the following 4 weeks. Then week 10 is Detroit. Couple NFC North games back-to-back. Week 10, Detroit. Week 11, Minnesota, both at home. Then on the road, the quick turnaround, play the Lions again in week 12 before going to New York to take on the Giants. Finish up the home schedule with the Rams in Green Bay in weeks 14 and 15. And then on the road again at San Francisco and at Minnesota to close things up.
You know, look at that with the Bears in their division. Like, take a look at the schedule. I'm assuming you have it up right now.
Yeah, I have the Bears right in there.
The season. Yeah, well, the Bears start this. Obviously, they start against the Packers in their division. And then how many games do they go before they play another division game?
It's not until Detroit in week 10. So 8 games in between there and a bye week. So 9 weeks.
Got a lot of time to think about it. And maybe that's good because maybe by then the team will have blossomed into something. And the Bears, for the first time since 1969 last year, did not win a single game in their division. So maybe it's best that they have a few games to think about it before they really go through the division.
And it's just a little thing in the schedule, and it tends to happen from time to time, but I always hate the play a team twice in 3 week thing. It always irritates me.
Detroit, right?
Yes, yeah. Weeks 10 and weeks 12 they play the Lions, and I always hate that. It's like, okay, you literally just saw this team Can we get someone else on the schedule? I'm getting way too familiar with whoever it might be. And in this case, it's the Detroit Lions, it's always irked me for whatever reason.
And it's the Thanksgiving game. And that means poor little me will be all alone this year on Thanksgiving. I'll be with all those fun Bears reporters that you were talking about earlier.
That's right. Well, make sure to take a picture of Bears reporter Thanksgiving breakfast or dinner or whatever you guys end up doing, because that will be the that'll be like my favorite Bears reporter pool picture that you can come up with.
Well, here's the one that's really brewing, because, again, Friday's the day off. So I already talked to a couple of reporters who were seriously in on climbing a mountain with me. So there's at least two people that are down with it, and I got a feeling that that's going to make for some good photo ops with myself. And hopefully I'm not the only one climbing a mountain on Friday, because that's, you know, when you come to Denver, you climb a mountain, right? It's as simple as that.
I guess. I've never been to Denver. I can think of other things that I would consider doing in Denver. I don't know if actual mountain climbing is what comes to mind first. Whatever floats your boat, sure. I would take the ski lift to get up the mountain is probably what I would do. I would consider that and take the view from above that way. But if you want to go up and climb that mountain, I'm not going to be the one to stop you.
I am going to climb a mountain. And everything's legal in this state as well, Shep. So if that's what you're into, totally cool.
Oh, I was talking about going to a Rockies game. That's what I would be doing. I don't know what – I have no idea what you were referencing. I like seeing new baseball stadiums. I'd be at a Rockies game, go up to that level that they have. It's all purple seats in their row that's exactly 5,280 feet above sea level. That's what I'd be doing in my spare time. No clue what you're referencing.
Yeah, no, I'm way out of line with that. And I believe it, Shep. I believe that the first thing on your mind would be to go to a baseball game. And why not?
Exactly. It's a park I haven't seen. Have to get out there before too long. That's Mark Grody. I'm Nick Shepkowski. Julia Carroll follows us here on The Score. We say hello to her next during transition on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah, we're in the Rockies.
I'm going to kill you.
What?
I'm going to kill you!
There it is, a blast from 1994. In honor of Mark Grody being out in the Rocky Mountains and in Denver, Dumb and Dumber, dropping in on you before we get out of here tonight.
And then he totally redeemed himself.
Yes, that's right. He did.
Yep.
Man. Is that the last good movie Jim Carrey made, by the way, before we carry on here?
Oh,
was
it's
the
so
mask
funny you
pre
mentioned
or
that.
Post Dumb and Dumber?
Oh, that was pre.
Was it?
That wasn't good either.
I'm sure didn't you guys hate do this. It that much, but it's like right after that. I don't remember a movie I've liked with Jim Carrey.
When did he make Man on the Moon?
Man on the Moon would have been, what, late 90s?
Let's see.
And welcome back in, by the way. It's Nick Shepkowski and Mark Grody finishing up, making room. Julie DeCarroll coming up next, joining us for some transition here on The Score. Cable Guy was 1996. That did nothing for me.
The last good movie he did was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Thank you.
That's the best.
You
got to see it, Shep. That's a great movie.
2004, year I graduated high school. I did not see that movie. Looking out, let's see. What else good has he made since then?
You know what? You know what doesn't hold up?
Me, Myself, and Irene was horrible. A Man on the Moon was good. That was 1999. Simon Birch was a little too tear jerky for me. That hit the heartstrings a little too much. A little too serious. I need more laughter.
That is.
Truman Show I thought was overrated as hell. That got way too much love. Yeah, I'm going to go with Man on the Moon. Okay, yes. Dumb and Dumber 1994, Man on the Moon 5 years later, nothing else in between there or since then that I can credit Jim
Eternal
Carrey
Sunshine
being
is probably the best movie he's ever made.
All right. Well, if it's that good, then I'll have to check it out some point.
You know what does not hold up?
What doesn't hold up? Dumb and Dumberer?
No. Well, that's Dumb and Dumber does.
It didn't hold to begin with, let alone hold up.
Dumb and Dumber holds up. There was a movie every once in a while, I get on the on-demand and I look at the free movies, and you know, sometimes something looks good. Ace Ventura. I was like, I haven't seen Ace Ventura in a long time. it doesn't really hold up.
No, come on.
How can that be true?
You're insane.
I know, and I love that. It was very sad. I was like, because I loved Ace Ventura. But it's like it's like too early Jim Carrey, because he kind of like has that character as part of his act, whether it's stand-up or in a lot of his other characters. There's always elements of Ace Ventura, and it's just way too Jim Carrey. And I hate to say that. I hate to say it, because I loved Ace Ventura. Didn't hold up. It wasn't as funny.
I thought you were going to say it was transphobic, but instead it was just bad Jim Carrey jokes.
True life confession here. It wasn't until probably 2 years ago that I actually saw the end of Ace Ventura Pet Detective. I had seen the start of it time and time and time again, and I'm sitting there, and I'm with my wife, and she's like, why are you so into this movie? Like, this movie's 25 years old. And I'm like, because I don't know what happens.
How excited were you when Dan Marino showed up?
And she just looks at me like, you've never seen the end of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective? I'm like, don't ruin this for me. And she looked at me like I was robbed of childhood. She's making these claims of, I wanted to be a vet because of this movie. Oh, my God. And I'm like, don't ruin the finish. I don't know how this goes. So I was the guy that was like, yeah, don't want a spoiler alert 20-plus years later. Don't ruin it for me. But, it held up for me because I didn't know how it went the first time around there, Groats.
Oh!
Yeah, no.
Righty that.
See, that's just way too Jim Carrey.
I know.
Like, it's, you know?
Jim Carrey is a guy that if I had to sit in a room with him for 10 minutes, one of us ain't getting out alive.
I think he's like tortured artist, though. I don't think he's a funny guy. Yeah, he's like, don't look at me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, very much so.
No, but he's actually an artist, too. He actually does paintings. I don't know if you meant to say that, Julie, but he like... Like, Google him and his oil paintings. He's done, like, a bunch of dark paintings.
Yeah, because he's, like, a dark guy.
Well, he's a big anti-vaxxer, too, isn't he?
Yeah, I think
so. Isn't he one of those weirdos? They get blamed for measles coming widespread again?
He's dated all of his female co-stars, too.
That's how they get the gig. Like, sadly, is he one of those guys? Yeah, Jim Carrey.
It seems like
that's not a... God, you pull up his movie IMDb page... That is not a Hall of Fame roster right there. That's not a lineup that you write home about
best,
and say.
Some of his best work was in Living Color with like Fire Marshal Bill, and like he was hilarious. It's like it's sort of like Eddie Murphy. Like really, if you really want to look
stuff,
at it,
what you remember back on and
stand up in Saturday Night Live, even though he was on it for what only like 2 years. Like Eddie Murphy, like with some of his SNL stuff, some of his best stuff. Period.
Well, and he's kind of a tortured soul too, because when the SNL was it 40th year or 50th year a couple of years ago, and he just kind of like freaked out while on stage, and all right, that's it, I'm running away now, and it took pretty much everyone by surprise, and they didn't have
didn't
a,
he run away because he didn't want to make fun of Bill Cosby.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
No, that was a different... They had asked him to be Bill Cosby, to do his impersonation. I think it was Norm Macdonald, actually, did a lot of writing for that show.
Let's see.
And he said he didn't want to do it. For some reason,
oh,
he just...
Right.
Like, Eddie Murphy got up on the stage, and then, like Shep said, he just kind of... Like, he didn't really want to play
weird.
Along. He didn't want to...
Yeah.
Like, he
and
was
like,
the big star
Eddie
of the
Murphy,
night.
You're the biggest
right.
name the show's ever probably had, or
I
at least
think he's
as
the biggest
big
name
of.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah, and it's... It was just... awkward the entire time, and then he just walks off and like, oh, okay, well, that was some version of Eddie Murphy.
Thanks,
but
Eddie.
Not the one it was supposed to be. This hour on the Score being brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy. So what's going on the show tonight, Julie?
That's a good question. We're gonna sort of
when you know you'll let us know.
Yeah, we're gonna sort of see where it takes us. Gonna do kind of an open format sort of stream of consciousness radio.
Nothing wrong with that. Trust me, I have done that plenty of times, and I will continue to do that plenty of times.
You know what I'm doing right now?
What are you doing? You're packing up. I'm calling your Uber to get you home?
I'm calling my Uber. I just put my Uber in.
Don't
so
know if you
I've
caught the
like...
start of the show tonight, Julie. We're doing Transition with Danny Parkins and Dan McNeil about 5:45, 6 o'clock today. And... find out that Mark Grody staying in downtown Denver, understandably so. They're doing the he's covering Bears Broncos practices and whatnot there, and says, I can do the show. I can get that intercom station and do the show. Okay, cool, sweet. Grody punches his Uber to get to the intercom station, our sister station in Denver today, to do the show from. The Uber driver picks him up, looks at him, and says, son, we're going right across the street. And that's how Mark had him drive around the block 4 or 5 times to make it seem like it was worth his time. And that's how he got to the office this evening.
That's pretty great.
So yeah, that's like
$8 and yep, little ride in a Lexus, and it was just great. Really, so felt like I got to know that guy.
So are you taking the Uber black car home then? That's the question of the night.
Absolutely. I think I might have him take me out for food, because that's the next great question is where do I go to eat now? So maybe he'll have he might still be out there waiting for me. So I'll just follow his suggestion.
Does Denver have a fast food place that's like a must hit up type thing?
That's a good question.
Like when you go out west and it's go to In-N-Out Burger, then you go to it and you're like, this is overrated as hell. Like what's so great about this? Or Jack in the Box? Like is there something in Denver that's
you have to go near the depot? There's like tequila bars and stuff across the street. So I was there a couple years ago during the Cubs series, and that place, it was crazy.
All Cubs people?
Yeah,
all Cubs fans?
Great restaurants and great bars and stuff. So head over there, Mark.
Rocky Mountain
totally
Oysters,
go to
too.
The Depot.
I think it's called the Depot. Oysters. I don't know what it's called.
The Depot?
Okay. You get
all your...
Like, it used to be a train station. Now it's a hotel/restaurant place.
Gotcha.
I don't know what it's called.
If I ever get to Denver, then I will be sure to check this out. Like, Denver's been one of those cities, though, that I've said I probably forgot like 10 years. Oh, I'm going to go to Denver. It can't be that hard to get to. And it's just I have never crossed it off the list.
We invited you last year.
I know you did. I also saving up to try to buy a house last year, Herb, if you try to remember.
Oh, it's called Union Station. Head over to Union Station.
Flights to Denver are cheap, man.
I know. I'm going to run out of excuses of why I haven't been to Denver before too long.
Just don't drive there. Just don't drive there.
Yeah, I was going to say, just hop in an Uber and come on.
Hop in an Uber black car, you turn into Mark Grody, and everything is fine. Well, we are going to make room for Julie. She is coming up next. As always, 312-644-6767. For Mark Grody, Groats, this was fun. You might have been 1,000 miles away, but it felt like you're right next to me.
Total blast, man, and thanks to the people at our Synergy is wonderful. Had a couple of engineers who were, like, spot on, making sure everything was okay.
Is there a Denver version of, like, I know that when other hosts from other cities come and do the same thing here, that Brendan McCaffrey is always in charge of, like, hooking them up and making sure the ISDN lines are connected. Was there, like, an equivalent of Brendan just, like, sweating way too much and scratching himself in odd places?
Bald Irish.
Yeah, bald Irish, cussing people out and standing in the corner while you did your show tonight.
No, these were like classic engineers. You know what I mean? Like
professionals.
So yeah, like actual engineers. And there's like 15 radio stations in here, and I happen to be in Comedy 103.1 FM. So that's the studio. So a shout out to Comedy 103.1 FM for letting me use your booth here on the big one.
Well, Mark, it was a bunch of fun. Thank you tonight. Chris Muller from Pittsburgh previewed the Cubs and Pirates series with us. Also talked to Ben Heisler as well. Got some fantasy football talk in with him. Adam Sadzinski, Herb Lawrence. Great to work with both of them as well. Julie DeCaro is coming up next. Stay tuned for her show. For Mark Grody, I'm Nick Szczepkowski. Have a great rest of your, Wednesday night. And we will talk again soon, Chicago.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.